Yeah, the news that the Ayatollah is dead seems to be getting picked up more broadly. We still don't have what I would consider a proper confirmation, but if U.S. military officials are discussing it, it's probably true. Probably true. We probably would have heard word from the Ayatollah if he had survived by now. Could have been very injured, potentially.
Yes, Sandra, we just got this in literally 2 minutes ago, but Fox News can confirm that Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead following Israeli strikes against his compound and location earlier today. A senior Israeli official confirming this news. Earlier tonight, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu describing the strikes not only against the supreme leader, but against much of the Iranian leadership. We know the breakdown in strikes focused on leadership for the Israelis and military targets initially for the Americans and has since expanded as this
Came in to
campaign.
see if you're mid-segment. Is that for real? Yeah, a number of sources have corresponded to this. Yeah, it seems likely.
Is expected to continue in the days and possibly even weeks ahead. As we're looking at the current situation across the region, we're also gathering new information on what the Israelis have been doing against Iran. We are told from a military official that the largest Israeli Air Force sortie against any country in the world was conducted this morning with 200 Israeli fighter jets targeting 500 different locations, dropping hundreds of munitions on a variety of different targets inside of Iran. The Israelis, while they were going after leadership, were also looking to neutralize the incoming ballistic missile fire that has targeted their country throughout the day. Sirens sounded across Israel throughout the afternoon, sending millions of people into bomb shelters. But again, the takeaway here, the Israelis have killed Iran's supreme leader. That is being confirmed to Fox News by a senior Israeli official. John, Sandra.
Okay, so
Who's supposedly dead? The Ayatollah and some other senior leadership. That's the idea, at least. Again, it really doesn't make that much of a difference in the long run. The infrastructure of the IRGC and their control over the country isn't going to be shaken just by a couple of people dying. Again, that we really don't have any like long-term operational goals here. Trump's gestured at like a civilian revolution, but that's not going to happen overnight. If it happens at all, like that's a very ambitious project. You know? So what's the condition for our disengagement here? In my opinion, the condition for our disengagement is just Trump getting bored.
Great. You're obviously breaking that news for us just now. We'll be looking for reaction, obviously, on the ground in Iran and all over the Middle East region.
Absolutely. This is a major blow to the Iranian regime. Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, was not a figurehead. He was the man in charge of decisions as it relates to Iran's nuclear program, their expanding ballistic missile program, the hardline positions that made it impossible for the Americans to reach a diplomatic solution with the Iranians. And that led to a variety of conversations behind the scenes. And I can also report, having just gotten off of a background call with a U.S. official, that there were attempts made by the Trump administration, really olive branches given to the Iranians at the negotiating table, asking them to find a solution on the nuclear issue. These other issues, their ballistic missile program, their support of regional proxies, and even the crackdown on protesters, the Trump administration initially was willing to ignore those issues in order to get an agreement together on the nuclear program. And they simply were not willing to come to the table with reasonable
It's probably better to watch Fox News than any other source right now because they're as like full-throated advocates of what Trump is doing, they're the most emotionally honest of all the news agencies. CNN and CBS and MSNBC and what have you will be like twiddling their thumbs going like, well, this is happening and we have no opinions on it. Whereas Fox News will just openly lie, which shows you what the priorities of the administration are.
Demands. And despite the efforts by top negotiators that were sent to Oman and to Switzerland, whether it be Special Envoy Steve Witkoff or President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, who we know had been working across the region around the clock over the past year, not just on this issue, but also to get a ceasefire in Gaza and implement the new Board of Peace to create stability in the region. The understanding was that the Iranian regime and the supreme leader himself, these were the last hurdles for the region between stability and instability. And this decision was made overnight by President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to launch these extensive strikes across Iran in order to neutralize that threat. President Trump overnight, when he made those remarks, said there could be American casualties. This is going to be a difficult fight because no war is easy, despite the fact that by tomorrow, the Israelis believe they will have air superiority over the skies of Iran.
Brother, this will plunge Iran to civil war. There won't be a civil war in Iran because there's no organized resistance within Iran to the IRGC. The IRGC is still by far the strongest internal faction there. We haven't really, like, if we really wanted to do a regime change in Iran, we would have been planning this out, like, way from, we would have been, like, funding NGOs and quietly disseminating weapons and making promises to people. We haven't done any of this. Or at least if we have done it, it hasn't been enough a part of the project to, like, bear fruit, you know? It really just seems like Trump is just, like, throwing it out there, just hoping, you know, here we go. We're doing a bombing run. This is your chance. He literally said it in his speech. He said, this might be the only chance you get for generations, which is like, okay.
But we have seen the Iranian response today, not just here in Israel, with the ballistic missile fire targeting major population centers, including Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Haifa, but also Gulf countries, Bahrain, the UAE, and Qatar. A regional diplomat telling Fox News this evening that 8 people were injured in Qatar during one of the attacks. One of them is in critical condition. And so there are serious consequences to this counterattack by Iran. But again, tonight,
what do you think the chances the Kurdish minority in Iran can use the situation to break away? Zero. There's nowhere near the kind of like widespread instability. Also, like if that happened, Iraq and Turkey would start pressing back against them from their own respective borders. There's no opportunity for this to happen for them. I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, this whole thing seems really poorly planned out.
The news that is breaking across the region, Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, according to a senior Israeli official, has been killed.
So, Trey, if that report from the senior Israeli official is correct, the big question is what comes next? The Ayatollah was 86 years old. I imagine that in the theocracy of Iran, they have got clerics lined up to take that position in the same way that they have planes lined up over Ben-Gurion on the landing approach. So what does that mean for the future there in terms of the theocracy if that were to continue?
Israel is looking east right now to the threat from Iran, but they're also looking north and south. Iran's largest proxies are Hezbollah, the Lebanese militant group in southern Lebanon, and the Houthis in Yemen.
Is the Israeli attack on an Iran school true? Yes.
Hezbollah, according to an intelligence official I spoke to recently, still has thousands of rockets and missiles, and around half of them are within range of Israeli cities. And this is a serious threat still posed to Israel, despite the fact that the Israelis have degraded and destroyed much of the Hezbollah arsenal. It still poses a threat to Israel. You might remember, as we reported throughout the past 2.5 years, the Israelis decapitated the head of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, with a strike in the Dahya neighborhood of southern Beirut. They went after the missile-launching positions we saw on the ground there in southern Lebanon as the Israelis meticulously moved field by field and cave by cave to go after these positions that had been dug into the sides of mountains. But despite those efforts, this is an organization that had decades of support from the Iranian regime, and they were able to smuggle in missiles and rocket components that now make up what is left of that arsenal. And while it is a smaller arsenal than before, it is a threat. And Hezbollah in the past, just the past several days, has said that if Iran's supreme leader was targeted, they would get directly involved in this war. And so that is where Israel is focused right now. As it relates to the situation on the ground in Iran, we do have to step back amid all of this military action and these serious decisions that were made by President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. There is still an understanding about how the structure of the Iranian regime operates. Iran's supreme leader reportedly had already prepared successors. Iran's IRGC had already prepared successors for the top commanders of their military, understanding that if a war erupted, these would be the individuals targeted in such a conflict. And so this isn't over. This is actually just beginning. But it does raise questions about the future of the region and where things are headed once...
The loyal servants at Fox News want this conflict to continue indefinitely. It benefits the news network directly. And also it's in the interests of Israel. Do you think this still matters? What, the... If Trump wants to use military force in Iran, he should seek authorization from U.S. Congress. Agree 67%, disagree 17%. Even only a minority of Republicans disagree. It doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, it's really difficult to ascertain how Americans feel about this, because we're very easily swayed by the positions of our elected representatives. Republicans will defend literally anything that Trump does. As for Democrats, it's probably not great that all Democratic leadership is united behind the message of this is great, but let us know next time. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to say. No idea. It's not good. It's not good.
This does conclude.
Also crossing right now, a source familiar to Fox News is saying some Gulf partners are responding to Iran defensively and offensively. Trey, since the last time you joined us, top of the last hour, we got word that President Trump had sat down for this several-minute interview with Axios, in which he said he believes he has several off-ramps from Operation Epic Fury, talking about the long, how long this could take. It could end in 2 or 3 days, said the president. He could tell the Iranians, see you again in a few years if you start rebuilding your nuclear and missile programs. This was about a 5-minute interview that the president conducted, but suggesting there could still be a diplomatic solution or opportunity, Trey.
Absolutely. This is the Peace Through Strength initiative that the president ran on when he was running for his second term. And when you look at the region, there are players in the region, including the Iranians, that often only understand strength. And that is a fact in the Middle East. And it's the reason that the Israelis have approached the conflicts that they are involved in the way that they have. As it relates to Iran and the possibility of a diplomatic off-ramp, if this does continue for a number of days and the regime is weakened, we have already heard in interviews that took place today from other outlets with Iran's foreign minister, who indicated at least a small interest in a diplomatic path, understanding that at the end of this, the Iranian regime had one major factor, one lever to pull, and that was their ballistic missile program. Now, while they still will fire ballistic missiles, likely in the days ahead, when they have no...
No, seriously, is it a regular thing in American media to fetishize Israel to this extent? Yes, of course it is. Yeah, obviously. What, you think we're doing this for fun? Yeah, obviously. We are not allowed to say anything critical of Israel. Sorry, if I come across a little bit disengaged from this, I think it's because a lot of people online are strung along with promises of World War III or it's finally happening. But once you recognize that all this is a flimsy vice signal to the worst people who live in Israel and America, and that in just a couple of days, we're probably going to go back to the negotiating table. Trump can pretend this was all a victory, and then we just go right back to the status quo. It's very uninteresting. What I'm much more interested in is the rhetoric of our politicians and the extent to which people are starting to wake up. You know, I'm much more interested in, like, wow, it sure is crazy how Dem leadership is completely aligned on this issue. It sure is crazy how Mamdani's like the only guy criticizing it, because, like, if we want to break the cycle, those are the people we need to be elevating it. Not World War III, but I think you're underselling it. It's not, I mean, you can... Maybe I am underselling it. I mean, we'll see how the whole thing plays out. But the assassination of the Ayatollah really doesn't change that much. And it seems like our only goal here is to just fuss about for a bit.